Hey, friend. Really proud of this Portfolio Career podcast episode with Tristan Toma. Tristan talks about how he left a corporate job a couple years ago, only knowing what he didn't want to do. So he started Impera Strategy. Given his background in technology, systems, and IT, he became fascinated with the emerging blockchain technology sector. So he began learning and talking to others about it as much as he could. Also, with a background in teaching, he used those skills to lead blockchain educational seminars around New York City and more, from which he got consulting clients as a blockchain implementation strategist. This episode with timestamp notes is available on my website at portfoliocareerpodcast.com. Here in this episode, we talk about building relationships, playing the long game, international consulting, and how Tristan's nonprofit work has helped him learn new skills to complement his other professional projects, ambitions, and skills. There is so much more in here for you to build and grow your portfolio career. And here we go with Tristan.
Cool. Welcome to Portfolio Career Podcast. Your host, David Obinsky, is here with Tristan Toma. How's it going, Tristan?
Doing fantastic. Thank you.
Great. And Tristan, if we were to go to an event tonight, how do you typically introduce yourself?
As Tristan, I do, because of most events, I assume you're talking about networking. I do implementation strategy for blockchain, and I work with corporates, enterprises, startups, and governments on how they engage with blockchain, how they first understand it, and then formulate or design a business that leverages it to increase efficiency or business.
Okay. A lot to talk about. One place I think I would love to start would be, you know, blockchain has obviously been like a hot sector, a lot of excitement around there. I'd love to learn of how you got into the blockchain sector, because I think a lot of people are excited about it, but haven't really been able to kind of get involved.
Yeah, definitely. So I actually got into blockchain kind of serendipitously, in that I was doing IT and operations management for another company before I really got into it. And I was there for a couple years, hated it, quit. And the same day I quit, actually, I founded my LLC. And I had no idea what I was going to do, how I was going to make money with this LLC. But I figured that if I'm not going to do what I don't want to do, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'll figure that out. And I'll figure out a way to make money with it.
Okay.
So that was the founding of Impera Strategy. And it started off with general IT, you know, optimization or business management or, you know, business development, whatever the heck people would hire me for. And got some clients, but not enough. And along the route, or along the way, had conversations with people about blockchain. A few of my friends were in it. I was introduced to it years before and had some familiarity with Bitcoin, in that it existed as a digital currency. And my experience with IT, you know, computer networks, just helped me to gain a real understanding of it. I started studying a lot, reading books on YouTube. YouTube University has really built my career in many ways. And then I decided one day I'm going to give a talk. I'm going to give a seminar. I had some experience talking from before, and I really did not know what I was going to do, but I knew that, one, I needed to make money. I knew that, two, I knew more than other people. I would speak with smart people, and I would kind of, you know, first I would lean into them for information and just ask them feverishly questions so that I could understand from the first person. And then the second person, I take some of that first information, give it to them as if I know, and then dig them a little bit deeper into what blockchain is. What does it actually mean? What, you know, how does this tech actually work? What does it look like on the backside, on the front side? And then cumulatively, between speaking to smart people and gathering what I've learned from each of them and kind of snowballing it, put together the seminar. And it got really good feedback, and so I started to give it around New York, publicly, openly, give it in several universities like NYU and Rutgers and CUNY. And from those came clients, because business owners attended it. they said, hey, this guy, you know, he knows what he's talking about, and would come up to me afterwards, said, I have these assets, I have this business, I have this market share, this type of client, or this type of value chain or supply chain or whatever. Is it relevant to blockchain? Yeah. And in university, I studied organizational psychology and computer science. So I come to it with a, hey, does this work functionally question? And then I put it in a technical framework for my technical background and understanding of, is it feasible? So let me first make a business, and then two, leverage the technologies that are optimal for that. And that was my approach. So a bunch of clients, I just, you know, after 2 hours, basically, you know, interviewing them, said, hey, you know, this is how you could use blockchain. These are some business models or some frameworks you could use, but it's not really going to help. You could do it with a distributed database. You could do it with a centralized database. You could do it with a different tech. Sorry, thanks, bye. But some of them really, really caught on and had amazing connections, even from the people actually that didn't, you know, that it wasn't relevant for, said, you know, they respected it and said, you know, it's really useful, one, to understand it, and two, to work with somebody that is pragmatic about it. So they'd refer me to their contacts and colleagues and networks, and that created the business.
And so just from the workshop and teaching and being kind of a leader in the field at a very early stage.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I tried to position myself as someone that was pragmatic and didn't necessarily focus on the tech, but understood the tech. So I want to, you know, make your business better. That's my only objective. If you're making money, I'm making money. And at the time, a lot of, you know, blockchain systems weren't necessarily making money as outside of the ICO, which we now know went different ways for different people. But, you know, so just positioning myself in that place of somewhat contrarian. Hey, blockchain isn't everything. It's not the, you know, the one answer to all of our questions, but it can be strategically used. And let me find that. That's my positioning, right? Implementation strategy. Let me find the strategy to implement it practically. That took a long time to find the right words for, and you know, I play with it, but
yeah. And then I guess I would love to go a little deeper on that topic in terms of a recent Facebook post from you about your trip to Hong Kong and this, you know, unexpected international consulting gig and opportunity. How did that happen? And maybe provide a little bit of context to the listeners here in terms of, all of a sudden, you know, flew out to Hong Kong and started working with a client. I think people have ambitions of that, but I'd love to learn a little bit more about how that happened.
Definitely. I think that's almost an ideal type of portfolio career situation, because that took over a year for that to, you know, culminate. I met somebody at a dinner a year ago, actually almost a year and a half ago now. Met him at a dinner. We had this conversation. I told him I'm in blockchain, give seminars, work with companies. And he said, oh, I'm working with this, you know, I'm starting a blockchain company, let's talk. He ended up being a client of mine for almost the whole year. I designed their system, wrote their white paper. And what happened to create Hong Kong is that he actually, the company that I had consulted for, the original, got acquired by this larger company based in Hong Kong. And so the CEO of the original company said, well, you know, Tristan wrote the thing. He needs to be part of this. So it was really just a culmination of these, you know, different contacts. I had met him. I did work for him. I put value into it, knowing that there was a termination to that engagement, you know, of that contract. Then he comes back a couple months later and says, well, I'm talking with these guys. So I got on a couple calls with them. They liked it. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, oh, how cool that would be to go to Hong Kong now that he's talking with these guys from Hong Kong. He knows from banking world, he's in it. And like the next day, he just opens it up and he says, well, you know, you've been working with us. You've been engaging with them. You should come to Hong Kong. Like, okay. Fine. Twist my arm. And so that was really to continue work and commercializing different IP that we had created together and helping them, continuing on similar consulting role that I had been doing. Of, they have clients, they have partners that want to figure out best way to use blockchain, right, to make it practical. And yeah, it was very serendipitous and perfect long chain of events.
Mm-hmm. For other people that are interested in potentially pursuing, call it international consulting and stuff, do you have any advice for people in terms of how to form relationships or how to find projects like that?
Yes, I would definitely practice and learn about leveraging. I think leveraging has been the most impactful type of idea and concept for making yourself look international. I had a so funny story, right when I started, I had a friend that I knew just, you know, from when I was younger, and I lived in Israel before. So he had this business in Israel, and I did like this small project for him. I don't even think I charged him. I was just like, hey, let me help you out with this. And then poof, I was an international consulting firm. The day that I quit my first or my previous job and founded my LLC, I said, this is not a company. This is a firm. I'm a consulting firm. I am the company of me. It's me, Tristan, and Toma. And I would say we when I, you know, talk to potential clients or when I talk to people, just to try to come off as that. And that gave, I think, more confidence to potential clients. And I leveraged existing relationships and other people that along the way I would have a conversation with this other person who knows blockchain. So when I get a client, you know, I white label, hire him under me. He's part of Impera for the day, you know, pay him a few $100. And, you know, he comes in with me as another expert as Impera Strategy. We're showing up for this, you know, international consulting company or as this international consulting company. That's one side. Another piece I would say is, you know, grab at the threads. There are threads that exist in so many relationships. You know, like people mention partners or mention colleagues or mention, you know, other people in different countries or in different businesses. If they're in a different country in the same business, I mean, a business is expensive. Flying to another country, it's like $1,000 within the scope of a business. That's not a lot. If you can provide for them tremendous value, you know, make it first of all possible in your mind. Hey, I should be flying here. I can come and help you and I can bring value. That was my approach to Hong Kong. If I meet the team in person, it would be very effective for me to work with them continuously. Tristan, you should come to Hong Kong.
And then you were kind of a champion in hackathons related to blockchain. How did you start to develop some technical expertise in this, but then also be speaking? I feel like blockchain is a very technical-based solution and technology. How'd you learn more about that to become an expert like that?
So there are a couple sides of that. One would be the technical side, which the first book I read fully that gave me technical insight was called Mastering Bitcoin by Andreas Antonopoulos. It was actually gifted to me by a friend, Jason Grad. You probably know him. And he gave me the book a couple of years ago, right as I was kind of expanding and going into the seminar. It was actually after I had scheduled the seminar. Thank God he gave me that book. And I remember I just feverishly read through it, learned a ton. And I put the ideas together from, you know, like if you instantiate source code in this way, then, you know, it communicates with the computers. And it's this channel within the blockchain that, you know, is actually running on all the computers. And then from the book, Mastering Bitcoin, gave insight to how that actually works on the either cryptographic or, you know, technical side, on the coding side. Because I'm actually not a developer. I'm not a software developer. But I worked with developers. I took them out for coffee. I asked them how they got into it, how they learned. And they would just give their insights. And I would put everything together. I would put everything together in such a way that could translate from really ethereal concepts to simple. And because a lot of what I noticed actually in blockchain talks, especially at the beginning, was only high level, only blockchain equals trust, blockchain equals transparency. But what the heck does that mean? For me, that doesn't mean anything. That means trust and transparency. But if I want to build a business, cool, trust and transparency. What does that mean? Why trust? Why transparency? What part of the value chain doesn't exist now that blockchain changes? If I own a business, I don't care if you're telling me trust. I care that this particular problem is solved. So I would actually, from experience teaching in the Kabbalah Center, which was all, it was actually, it's Kabbalah Center. The Kabbalah Center is a spiritual organization, and it teaches a lot of very esoteric ideas and thoughts and concepts. And my job was to take those concepts and make them practical for the person in front of me. I was effectively coaching them as a Kabbalah teacher, taking ethereal concepts, making it practical for you. So I do actually a very similar thing in blockchain. I take these ethereal concepts of what trust means in a business scenario. Why would I not trust the counterparty? And then I would coalesce it into this material concept called what blockchain actually does, and say, here's how your business can benefit.
Is there a way to utilize that type of approach for other industries or verticals? Or is there any kind of any approach that somebody could do, that kind of how you put together those two there?
Yes, there is. So a couple ways that you could do it. I like the phrase, actually, I use this phrase a lot now. It's everything is nothing until it's something. For instance, when I started Impera Strategy, I could do anything, but that was nothing until it was something. Until it was this client, until it was this vertical, this business, this project, you know, let me build something for you, extend some value. And that type of coalescing ethereal concepts to, I want to, you know, change the world, I want to bring value. Or if you're in marketing, I want to, you know, bring big ideas to the world. If you're in agriculture, I want to feed everyone in the world. If you're, you know, in technology, I want to change the systems of the world. And, you know, so I started Impera Strategy saying, I want to change the world. What the heck does that mean? So before I actually talk to a client, let me talk to myself and whiteboard a ton. I had these, actually one of the first things suggested by an amazing friend, I got these oversized post-its and my room was plastered in them. These, like, it's like 2 feet by 3 feet post-its from Staples. And I just wrote down all the ideas of, like, if, you know, if money was no object, what would I do? And that takes one level of everything into something. And then I have that list of what would I do, or what would I like to do, or what are my skills? What are my first marketable skills, and then what are the skills that I enjoy doing, and then where do those two converge? And that practice of, if it looked like this, let me do it today. You know, like, you're extremely practical, and, you know, the time that I've known you, you're extremely practical. Like, let me start today. Let me start with step one. What does that look like? And kind of seeing forest and trees in that.
Okay. I think it's really interesting about this, these different threads that you were talking about, and kind of piecing together different either ideas or partners and projects. What advice would you have for people that are, you know, trying to find new clients and are trying to find them together? Like, what have you found successful in finding work that way?
There was one book that I read early on that impacted me a lot called Education of Millionaires. What I got from it was effectively bring value to your network. Just push value, whether it's connecting them. Like, at the beginning, I didn't know everything of what I was talking about, but I would talk to smart people and then I would connect those smart people. And then the position that I take, therefore, in both of those smart people's eyes is someone that surrounds himself with smart people. Mm. Therefore, by default, he is smart. Little did they know. But really, in trying to extrapolate some value to the person, how can I find value to this person? If it's a contact, great. If it's a quote that's inspired me, great. If it's a book, great. If it's, you know, if it's a hug, great. And like you mentioned before, actually, you know, let's create this connection, and having that paradigm of a long game career. I don't know what the heck I'm going to be doing in 5 years, but I know that I want good people around me while I do it. I had a call last Friday, actually, with this other business owner in technology. Right now, we're competitors, but I wanted to catch up with him and, you know, see how he's doing, what he's up to. Right now, you know, both of us are in different projects, but we both know, and we actually articulated it, which was cool on that call, because we hadn't spoken for a while and we'd never had that type of relationship before. It was very professional. You know, I said, I'm in it for the long game. I'm going to be working for at least 50 years. I enjoy work. I enjoy productivity. And I enjoy working with people that want to create things. So, the threading together or the leveraging is I want to create value. Like, I want to do cool shit. If my objective is do cool shit, if other people can do that, that are better than me in particular part, awesome. Let me connect them. Let me bring value to them. And then let me talk with, you know, savvy business people that have really interesting business models. The business modeling, I love. I love that side of it, because it's really a practice of how you can manipulate the transfer of value. I mean, business is, I provide you value, you provide me value. One of them inevitably will be a monetary value, but it's just this kind of formation of value transfer. And you kind of dance with that, and you can dance in different ways. And so business modeling is, how do we dance with value between, you know, two players, three players, four or five, six, seven in this business model, that business model. I've seen what I saw, or what we saw in a lot of the ICOs, was just a change in business models, more so than a change in technology. People would be doing a lot of the same things. They would post a particular piece of information to the blockchain, which would make no difference. But they would change the business model because of that, because of the way that funds were raised in ICOs, or because of the way that tokens interacted with the end users. So it was just this redefinition of value. And that's what leveraging is. Let me redefine value in your eyes. You know, if I have a contact and I want to leverage this contact, I'm going to redefine his value in the term of, you know, the second or fourth or 15th person that I meet. And seeing the opportunity in people for them to be more than the framework that I see them in today. So like right now, you know, on this podcast, you're a podcast host. You're amazing. And you're an amazing podcast host.
Thank you. Too kind.
And it can be leveraged. You as a person can be leveraged in so many facets, in different, you know, industries, different verticals, different people, different relationships.
How do you find ways to be, how do you stay productive while you're traveling and, you know, building great relationships? How do you maintain such high productivity?
I'll admit it has not been easy. I like to think that I can say when I'm not good at things. I'm not always good at that. I try to, because I'm running the long game in a career, and I don't know how things will coalesce. And then a lot of time when I'm traveling, I focus on networking then, and then get back to base and try to define what that networking can realize itself as. You know, what those clients, what I can do for those clients, or who I can connect them from my network. Inspiration is great. You know, I've been inspired to write articles and meet people and start new projects or new business models while I was traveling. But then to really sit down and create it, for me, it's very difficult outside of home base. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's tough.
But playing the long game, so.
Definitely. Long game has changed a lot of how I work. Because before I knew of Portfolio Career, I started thinking about that, largely inspired from that book, Education of Millionaires, and, you know, creating your network, creating value. You don't know how it's going to manifest in 5 years. You said it, you know, just before we started the podcast. In 5 years from now, who knows where we'll be, but it's great to have this connection, and it can manifest in either new business. We could start a business together. We could help each other in a business. You know, you could invest in a business of mine. I could invest in a business of yours, or, you know, we can connect each other to a business partner or a romantic partner or whatever. I don't know. We're just humans, you know, but
friends.
Yes, we're friends, and we're all going to be alive in 50 years, hopefully. So might as well play for that game, you know, instead of a quick buck. That's just inefficient. That's short-sighted.
As you, you know, look back at a lot of different projects and, you know, your journey here to New York is an inspiring one nonetheless. Anything else that you'd like to talk about related to you know, projects, work, portfolio, career, design in your life, Tristan?
Yes, there have been a couple passion projects that have been based from the nonprofit side and or just based on social impact and things. That's actually how we connected initially, was from social impact, or really how that ignited. And that's testament number one, right? Following my passion projects on the side, we reconnected by me commenting on a Facebook post of yours about Catapult. I said, hey, I'm into social impact. I want to learn more. And amazing things have come out of that. And that would be the takeaway, is that each of those businesses, one comes as a leverage point for speaking to clients. I have co-founded this nonprofit, or I work on this part, which is impactful. And I learned so much from those, from, you know, founding a 501c3, from fundraising, from, you know, other technologies or other partnerships or government partnerships. The nonprofits were the first government partnerships experience that I ever had. And now I'm vying for clients that are focusing on government partnerships. Thank God I spent my free time starting 2 years ago figuring out how to get buy-in from a, you know, the governor of La Paz, Bolivia, for this education nonprofit, because now I know a little bit more about how they think. That's been absolutely integral. And it's also been an inspiration for me when, like, the main work is difficult. You know, I'm also building what I want to. Of course, I enjoy my work, but having that variation of professional tastes and projects is fulfilling to me. I think very similar to you. I think we have a similar nature in that way. Like, I want to be working on 15 things. I love 15 things. But what I found is that each of those have opportunities to learn and bring lessons into each other.
Sounds like a perfect way to end. And yeah. How can people follow up with you?
Yeah, for sure. So I can always be reached on the company email, Tristan@ImperaStrategy. It's I-M-P-E-R-A strategy. Definitely follow up with me. I love having conversations. I love teaching people about blockchain. I was at a dinner party on Friday night, and I spent half of the dinner teaching people about blockchain. I almost went through my whole, you know, base seminar, but I just love it. It's fun for me. So if anyone's curious about blockchain, wants to learn more about the practicalities, I'm happy to really even sit down with people, or I can put together seminars in a bunch of companies, obviously, I've done, and happy to do that. So Tristan@ImperaStrategy.com. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram @VentureThroughLife. And so whether it's personal or professional, I like good people. Reach out.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Tristan. Really appreciate it.
Likewise. Thank you.